Oh, man. I thought I hit the button. Did I hit the button? I hit the button. There you go. It's Tuesday, May 21st. We're getting in the roll with it, man. My hat was backwards before I even started today. We have a lot to talk about. Nissan shocking, leaders that are amazing, and high income. The people really want to know. What are they called? Customers. Affluent customers. Flocking to Walmart. I mean, that's kind of like... It's not new news that Walmart has affluent customers, but the reason why... is a very valid conversation for us in automotive, I think. Yes. I know. Yeah. I know. How's the Shotokan hangover? Feels pretty good.
Feels great on my end. I'll tell you this. I mean, you and I were texting this morning. It's still messages coming in, whether it be LinkedIn or text messages or emails about like the action. And every message isn't just, great job.
No.
It's, this is how I was impacted by XYZ.
Absolutely.
And that's what's encouraging to me is like, oh, no. That it's more than just a feeling. Like the feeling enabled the action.
Action, right. And that's what we're saying. And that's a big deal. Go and do. Adrian, good morning. Sun Cylinders. Hey, what's up, Dylan?
Yo.
Riding in the car on the way to work or whatever, school, get it done.
You know what? Hey, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but we announced 2025 at the event last week, and then yesterday Soft announced it during the morning show, if you listen to the show. And then on our YouTube channel, we kind of put up like a graphic that was about 2025, and I don't know if we still have that graphic.
We do.
If you're watching, you can see it. And on our YouTube channel, someone was like, I love the 2025 logo, and I was looking at it and I was like,
is that the 2025 logo?
Maybe a little closer than we thought we might be on that thing. So we'll see how that goes. But I feel like we're already priming the pump. You know what I mean?
It is. Yeah. Here, I see what you're picking. Okay. Thanks. Crowdsource logo dev. We'll take that. listen, if you've sent a message or mentioned either of us on LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever, and we haven't responded to it, it's just because we haven't gotten to it. We haven't got to it, but it's pretty amazing. Thank you again. The point is that we can hit the ground running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and continue on this journey to be inspired about what we do, to serve our communities, our customers, our people, watch them develop and grow by being the best operation, best and most operationally sound practitioners in the industry. We can only do that if we understand what's going on around us, if we leverage all the information we have, the relationships we have to do that. So you're in the right place. And today we're going to talk about a little bit of news to help give us some broad perspective. Sometimes you need to be a mile wide.
How's
right?
the automotive world doing, Paul? How's it doing?
Well, Nissan's having a little fun. They're revisiting their U.S. electric vehicle production strategy, putting a $500 million investment in a Mississippi factory on hold. The company plans to adjust its EV lineup and production schedule to better align with customer demand. As a result, they're halting production plans for its next-gen EV sedans, delaying this investment in Mississippi. In a memo to suppliers dated May 17th, Nissan wrote, please stop all development activities related to the EV sedan project until further notice in order to enhance product competitiveness. They plan to introduce a fifth EV model at the Canton plant, which is a compact crossover named the PZL1. Oh, come on with the names already, people, and the Zs and the numbers and all that. Now the plan is to have two crossover models that will precede EV sedans. So they were launching a couple EV sedans. They're saying actually it's going to be two EV crossovers now. Jeremy Pepin, Nissan America's chairperson, said what matters is making sure that we launch the vehicles that the customer wants at the time the customer wants it. That sounds like pretty sound business advice.
Can I get snaps for that on a Tuesday morning? Well, first of all, going into the EV market with an SUV makes a ton of sense because that's where the most people are going in. They're going in
Model SUV, Y, right?
Higher price, Model Y, competing with the thing that everybody's looking for is obviously the clear and easy route to go. But this is like, the dominoes just keep falling. It's almost weekly now. It's like, I remember that one time, boss, when we were like, let's go all in, skirt, you know, head back to the drawing board.
Yep.
You know, this is just another domino falling in the race to, quote, what the customer wants. Mm-hmm. You know, we were on stage with Mike Stanton last week, And Mike has constantly, and I got to interview him in a podcast, constantly said, hey, look, the dealers, industry partners, OEMs, nobody is against heading toward EVs or hybrids or whatever next drivetrain is out there or powertrain is out there. But what everybody does want is what the customer wants and what the customer is asking for. And they'll tell the general pop, the general pop will tell the manufacturers when they want it and how they want it. And so watching manufacturers start to take that approach back means there's a good chance they were listening to the consumer and they were probably listening to their dealers too.
Speaking of listening. Stop.
Segway.
Time.
This week, two large dealership groups were recognized with a prestigious award for their, I love this, outstanding performance and leadership, as the Ziegler Auto Group and Hendrick Automotive Group were selected for Glassdoor's inaugural list of best led companies. I'm so excited that dealers are showing up high on this list. It's the first time they ever released it. The 50 businesses on the 2024 list were chosen based on the factors of CEO approval, senior management ratings, and leadership sentiment. Hendrick ranked 13th and Ziegler ranked 30th on the list. Ziegler Group had, get this, a 4.7 star rating on Glassdoor. Whoa.
That's tough to do on Glassdoor.
That's
if
tough
you know anything about Glassdoor.
I think a 96% is tough to do anywhere for
anywhere.
Anything, right? And on Glassdoor is like, oh, where could anonymous employees tell what they want? You think that could go sideways? Nope, 96% of them said, we love this organization and the leadership. 96% said they would recommend working at the company to a friend. Aaron Ziegler, their CEO, said, we are fortunate to have a good group of strong leaders who are innovative and hardworking. We happen to be good friends with Sam Dark, the COO of the company. Follow him on LinkedIn. He's always talking about leadership and serving his people. The Hendrick Auto Group employs nearly 11,000 employees, has a 4.3 star rating on Glassdoor. It's really great, with 84% people recommending the company. Christian Sutherland Wong, Glassdoor CEO, said the award showcases those shining examples of companies where senior leadership is putting work life and people first.
And
yes, that's car dealerships, folks.
That's it.
I wish this would have come out before Otakon.
I'm just going to, like, the fact that Sam Dark, you know, like, you listen to their podcast, it's not about how to sell a car, it's how to be a better person, right? And
yes.
So you see that across Ziegler Automotive Group. And then Hendrick Automotive Group, I'm just calling it. Ryan Everson, that cat is so good at getting reviews everywhere. He's probably got a review strategy for Glassdoor as well.
Probably
and
does.
They just are activating their employees in the right way. But you, in order to activate your employees in the right way, they have to love working.
Oh,
for you.
Or you're not trying to activate them at all. Love,
that's right. Or you're not trying to activate them. The only way they love working with you is if you put ding, ding, people first.
That's right. That's right. Speaking of, well, I don't know. I was going to say people first.
Oh, not really.
I don't know. What is Walmart? I went to Walmart last night, by the way. I went in and everything.
I'm sorry.
I went in and everything. And as I was driving, I was like, you know, wow, we really got to figure out this online order pickup thing. Actually, I needed pool chlorine for my saltwater pool because we had a little bit of an algae issue. But speaking of Walmart. Here's
a little result from their financial results that shows a significant rise in purchases from high-income shoppers, contributing to the retail giant's sales gains in the first quarter of 2024. CFO John David Rainey reported higher engagement across all income cohorts, with upper income households contributing to the most sales gains. Basically, they look at their customers in three category buckets: under $50,000 of income, 50 to 100, and then above 100. And what's interesting is each of those categories make up about a third of their customer base. John Furner, Walmart's US CEO, highlighted the focus on value, flexibility, and convenience as key factors appealing across all income segments. They're not specifically targeting wealthier shoppers, but providing a value that appeals to a broad spectrum of shoppers. They've launched recently a private label line, better goods, higher quality stuff, and then even some chef-inspired food at affordable prices. So Walmart going after the super center for all peoples.
Actually, I think better goods is the name of the line. One of the things, if you click on the Morning Brew article, it's worth a read, I think, if you're in retail, talks about the value of convenience and how that the ease of shopping, specifically when it comes to services delivered at your home, not having to inconvenience yourself and waste your time, is why they believe they are attracting the higher level of income earners, because the time over money factor, I think it's something we all can pay attention to in the stores. We talk about it. It's not a secret, right? Like, people value their time, right? People say it all the time. It's an adage. It's a whatever. What do they call those things? But reality, like, the people who focus on that, the consumers notice. And especially the higher level income you get, likely the more they notice and the more they care.
One thing that's interesting that, doesn't get a lot of publicity, but they seep their way into every point of culture, is they have very similar value propositions of Amazon, actually, from like the type of shopping you can get done, the range of variety of products online, as well as shipping, pickup and delivery, things that even especially like on the grocery side of things, Amazon has not perfected, but you get with similar membership levels at Walmart. And so when you look at that, plus the in-store shopping experience, plus the wide range of products across food and common household goods and clothing, you get a competitor that's in the market, both in the e-commerce and in the in-store shopping side of stuff.
Brian Ortega comments, people work at Walmart too. People do work at Walmart. Let me tell you about my experience last night. I walked in, the carts were all over the place and I needed somewhere to sit my little four-year-old. We went in, grabbed what we need really quick. We needed pool chlorine and it was strategically placed with all the pool stuff, which was right close to the front. They know everyone's buying pool stuff right now in upstate New York, right? Because it just got above like 42 degrees out here. So we're getting in the pools. But when I went to check out, they have mostly self-service checkout lanes now. They have the little community one where you can get in the line and you go through. They have the two people standing there. And then they have a lot of lanes, which is just like a standard lane. Only like 4% of the green lights that show you the lane is open were working, but there were people in like 70% of the lanes. It was just kind of operationally a mess, you know? And it's like,
I've seen that.
It's like, man, it's like that was my perception going in. And it's like
just a few little like caring things and totally would,
which made me not want to go in there again, but they were open and they did have pool chlorine. So
Walmart should hire Publix, you know,
they could probably just buy them.
Yeah,
you could just buy
that wouldn't go well.
No, look, we're just having fun today. Getting you to think a little bit more broadly about what you do, why you do it, how you treat the people you're working with, how to treat the people you're serving. Think about those things and go do something.